Glad you're saved, say amen.
Amen.
If you love the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
If you hope a preacher's short-winded, say amen. All right, I appreciate honesty. That's but it's good to be Kelly here. But it's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. Good to see everybody out. And I tell you, listening to the brother tell about the distribution of the Bibles and the missionaries and everything, I tell you, if you've never been on the mission field, if you've never visited with a missionary and you ever have the opportunity, I would highly, highly encourage you to do that. It will change your perspective. And, you know, you think about all of us, we come in, we are here tonight. Some of us, you know, I've told folks that I know, tell them about different ones that go to church here, and some of you drive from a county away. And to a lot of people around here, they can't believe that. You know, but like I said, that one fellow there, he's telling about, for 3 days to get to church. I tell you what, most of us wouldn't walk for 30 minutes to get to God's house. You know, and just here the other week, Kelly and me and the kids, we traveled some, and, you know, we got out in the western end of the country, and you know, we saw a few Baptist churches, but nothing like it is here. I tell you what, folks, we don't know how blessed we are and how blessed we are to have what we do. How many of us, you know, we drove past not just a church, not just a Baptist church, not just an independent fundamental Baptist church, but a good one to get here. The Lord has blessed us with that. And I tell you what, we need to not take it for granted. But it's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. Got a short message that the Lord has given us. And I tell you the way that it come about this morning. Brother Steve was teaching in Sunday school, and one of the scriptures that he read, the Lord began to show us some things in that. And this morning as we were walking out, Mark said, "Brother, would you preach tonight?" And I just said, "Yeah." And so didn't have as much time to maybe digest everything and to think about it and everything. But the Lord knows what we need. And it might be that you need a short message tonight. I don't know what it is, but the Lord knows what you need. But if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and be turning with me over to 2 Peter. Now, as you're turning over there, I want you to listen really close. This is one of those when if you don't pay attention to what I'm about to say, and you ever watch the news and they take just a snippet out of what somebody says and it ain't what they said because it's out of context. If you tune in and out tonight, you're going to go, "What in the world is he talking about?" And if I had to title the message tonight, it would be that we need to get past our faith and add to our salvation. And some of us look crossways, so I don't know what you... Like I said, hold on, we'll get there. We need to get past our faith and add to our salvation. That title kind of reminds me also about a preacher I know you has heard about. Said he preached a message on, it was over there in the book of Exodus, and he preached, he said, "I want to be a man like her." You know, you got to be careful in this day and time using a title like that to your message. And same thing with this. If we'll wait just a minute, we'll see what we mean by getting past our faith and adding to our salvation. But if you have your Bibles, the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 1, we'll begin reading in the first verse, read down through the 12th verse, and then try to bring to you just what the Lord has given us and nothing more, nothing less. But we find in 2 Peter, chapter number 1, verse number 1, it says, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for a time to come together to meet in your house, God. Lord, thank you so much for what you've done. God, I just ask now, Lord, as we look into your word for just a few minutes, God, Lord, that you'd speak to us through it. God, you know every heart here. You know every soul here. Lord, you know what we stand in need of. And I pray, Lord, that you would send that and provide that as only you can. God, we pray for the other churches around, Lord, that are meeting together right now. God, I pray that you would be with them. God, I pray that you would give them souls for their labor. God, we pray also for the missionaries, Lord, that are out there serving and trying to tell others about you. God, I pray, Lord, most of all, though, if there's any among us here tonight that's lost, Lord, there'll be something said or done that would point them to Christ. Lord, your Holy Spirit would draw them and they would be saved. For it's in Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Y'all can be seated. I tell you, I still get so nervous, I can't stand it. But there's been many times I've been halfway through the message before I told anybody to sit down. So if that ever happens, y'all just sit down. You know, it'll be all right. I'm not much on formalities, and I get all kinds of things out of order, and I get mixed up, and I may have told you this before, but I might be like that one preacher that got nervous. He said, he told them there, said, I tell you what, said, if I can't do nothing to hurt you, I sure don't want to help you. You know, so we don't want to be that away. So you have to, there's a fellow I used to work with, I told him you could hear the words that he said, but he almost needed an interpreter because he mixed things up so bad, and I'm that exact same way. So when I say things backwards, just nod and smile, and it's tough, I tell you, being this way. But we read here in the book of 2 Peter, starting out there, I want to say this as we get started. Peter is very clear in who he is writing this to. So let me tell you tonight, the message is for the church. But let me say this before we get started. If you ain't part of the church, and I don't mean necessarily your name on the roll at Pinnacle Baptist Church, but if you're not part of the church, if you've not been saved, let me tell you what, God can do that tonight. He can do that right now. He can do that right here. But we see the scripture that we have tonight, it is addressing those, it says, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He's saying this is for those who believe. This is for those that have faith. This is for those that have trusted in Christ. This isn't for the world. This isn't for other people. This is one, you know, a lot of times today with a lot of these preachers that you see. I was talking to a fella yesterday. He said, I don't know how in the world it happened. He said, but somehow I'm on Joel Osteen's email list. And we got to talking about that. He said, he ain't no preacher. He said, he's a motivational speaker. And you know what? Sometimes there's ones that can stand and take a verse of Scripture and they would try to motivate you or just tell you everything's all right. But let me tell you here, what we're getting from Simon Peter is instruction on what we need to do. He's telling us what needs to happen. He's telling us what we need to do. And he's saying that this is for the church. It ain't for anybody else. But we see he comes across something. And if I were to ask you here tonight, it's one of those questions that I know the answer that everyone would give. If I ask everyone here tonight, do you want more knowledge of Jesus Christ? I think every one of us would agree that we want more knowledge of Christ. We who have been saved have that desire to know more about Him. Let me tell you what, if you're here tonight and you do not have that desire for more knowledge, I would question whether I had ever been saved or not. Do you know, I think about this, and the Lord so many times talks about the church and Christ as that bride and that bridegroom. You know, I like it that the Lord puts it in simple ways that I can understand. Do you know when I met Kelly, guess what? I wanted to know more about her. You know, and once I learned more about her, I wanted to marry her. And after I married her, guess what? I still wanted to know more. Do you know what? I believe the first time you heard the name of Jesus, maybe it piqued your curiosity. Maybe you were like me. You were raised in the house of God. You had heard the word preached. You knew something of Him. And then one day when the Holy Spirit moved upon you, you realized your condition. You accepted Christ. You were saved. But let me tell you what, it doesn't end there. We should want more knowledge of Christ. We should want to know more. But He says there, according to His divine power, He hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, how through knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory. I think about that, and I love that verse, what it says there. He says, according to His divine power, He hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Do you know what? The devil gives you the opposite of that. You know, he gives you death and hell. But Jesus gives us life and godliness. Isn't that something? Boy, there's, like I said, simple concepts through the Bible. We see these opposites so many times. But the Lord wants to give us that. But we see whereby it says, as it goes on into verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. You ever sit down, just look through the Bible and start counting the promises that the Lord gives? One of my favorite, He ain't ever going to leave us or forsake us. Ain't that good? You know what? I've got some good friends in this world, but you know what? Just about every one of them at some time or another has failed me. Now let me just go ahead and say, and I failed them too. But do you know what? He ain't never failed me. He ain't never left me. He ain't never not been there when I needed Him there. I've got good friends that I might call them on the phone and can't get them on the phone. But do you know what? Every time that I've called upon Him, He's always been there. Those exceeding great promises that He has given us. But it says that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, we're going to get into what we talk, all that's a preliminary to what the Lord's given us. But we see starting in verse number 5, Peter starts talking about some things and telling about some things. And as I read this scripture and as Brother Steve read it this morning and referenced it this morning in the Sunday school class, I can't help but be put in the mind of over there in Ephesians chapter number 6, I believe it is. And in Ephesians chapter 6, we're all probably familiar there. And if I can find my bookmark, we'll be doing good. And if I can't, it's going to be all right as well. But in Ephesians chapter number 6, there it is. He talks about the whole armor of God. And in that, he gives us a list. And you know what? I like lists. You know why? You get a list, you can check it off. If I rely upon myself to remember something, it don't happen. Kelly called me yesterday. They went down with Mama and Linda and them. Now, they went to the beach, but later this week I'm going to go to the coast. But they're at the beach right now. When I get there, they're going to be at the coast. But anyway, she called me yesterday, and I was driving to the church get-together. She said, Cooper has forgot. He didn't bring the swimming trunks, I told him, and he this and that. Go ahead, when you pack up, bring that with you. I said, let me tell you right now, you're going to have to remind me. Why? Because I forget. I like lists. You can go through and you can check those things off. And when you read in Ephesians about that armor of God, there's a list there. And he gives you the things that you need. And I think about that, as we think about that so many times and in Bible school and in different places, that's a good scripture to go to. We've used a lot of different times in talking to kids about the Lord and talking to them about that. Me and Brother Sam Arrowood went several years in a row over to a youth camp. And we would take all the stuff from the sheriff's office, the
the shields and the vest and the guns and all of these things. And we would, you know, you walk into a place with, you know, dressed out in SWAT gear, kids pay attention, you know. You dressed out in SWAT, everybody pays attention, you know. It commands attention, you know. But Sam would talk to them about those things and how they're similar to what we read about here, and the kids would listen. But as I thought about that, you know, as we read through this, you know, when we think about faith and we think about salvation, both of those are referenced here. We see that salvation is thought of as the helmet and the shield of faith. But do you know, you think about this, whether it's somebody on a SWAT team or whether it's somebody in our military, wouldn't they look foolish if right before going into battle, all that they had was a helmet? Hey, don't get me, salvation is wonderful. But you wouldn't go into battle with just a helmet or with just a shield. You know, the Lord there in Ephesians gives you a list of the things that you need to go into battle. And over here in 2 Peter, Peter gives us a list of things that we need. And I believe it's not by chance the order that he lists them in. You know, I believe even the very punctuation in our 1611 King James Bible is there by divine inspiration. I don't believe anything is out of place or anything is out of order. I'm persuaded to believe that what we see here is exactly what was intended to be written. And so we see here in verse 5, he's done told them about all of those good things and all of those blessings. And he says in verse 5, and beside this, in addition to, he says, that ain't all. There's more. And he says, besides these things I've already told you about, he says, giving all diligence. Boy. Diligence. That's something that's hard to be sometimes, ain't it? But he says, and given all diligence, add to your faith. You know, as we said, when we look at this, and we're going to go through some of the definitions of these words. Because, you know, all of us, we can read this and we have an understanding of it. But how many times have you ever looked up a word and you thought, huh, I didn't know that it meant all of that. I knew that it meant this, but I didn't know that it meant all of that. But here he says, add to your faith. Looking at that first, what is faith? In the context it's used here, and we're not going to try to read to you the Greek words because I was doing good to read to you the English words. But when you look back in the Greek and you study that, the simplest way I could put it upon is this. In that context, in this verse, what it means is reliance upon Christ for salvation. That's what he's talking about when he says faith. And like I said, man, that is awesome. That is great. Because of the faith and trust that I put in him by grace through faith, as we're told there in Ephesians chapter 2, by grace through faith, because of that, I don't have to go to hell. Because of that, I am saved. Because of that, I ain't got to worry. And that is good and that is great. But let me tell you what, I believe God would not have us to stop there. Do you see the problem today with a lot of Christians is they got that and they quit. You know, I'm a cheapskate. Kelly will tell you that. If I can save a nickel, I'll save a nickel, you know. I've seen people walk along and they'll see a penny laying on the pavement and they won't pick it up. That's crazy. You know, I mean, it's too hard to earn to pass it by. And to waste it. But do you know, it's like I can't go to buffets. And we're going to preach on that in a minute anyway. I can't do that because do you know what I'm sitting there thinking about? Here's how crazy I am. I go to the Golden Corral and I don't even know what it costs, $12, $14. I sit there and I'm like, well, that steak's about $4.95 a pound. Them shrimp. I ain't getting a salad. You know, I'm going to get my $14, and then if there's anything left, you know, I want all I can get. So isn't it silly as Christians if we're the kind of people we want all we can get for what we can get a hold of, why would we stop with just faith? Why would we stop with just that? And we see here that Peter in the Scriptures tells us, he says, add to your faith. He doesn't say do away with it. He doesn't say these things supersede it, But he says, add to it. Take what you've got and add to it. I think about the parable of the talents over there. Whatever the Lord's give you, use it. Whatever the Lord's given to you, take that and add to it. And he says the first thing to add to it is virtue. Now in that, like I said, I think it is very important that we see that he gives a specific order. He doesn't just give a list, but he tells what to add, and then what to add next, and what to add next, and what to add next. Do you know a lot of recipes that you do? I think about one that I like to make, and every time I have to look it up, because I figured something out. If you don't put things in the right order, it don't turn out right. If you don't put things in the way that it's intended, that finished product isn't going to be what it could have been. It might be all right. It might be edible, but boy, when you get it in there just right, it's good. It's the same way with this. When we get it in the right order, then I believe we can see something. It says there, to faith we need to add virtue. And that, the simplest, easiest definition that we can find with that is used here, is excellence. Do you know what? We live in a society of good enough. That is the attitude that a lot of people have about everything. And hey, I'm preaching to me. Don't think I'm standing up here being self-righteous. All this is for me too. But we live in a time and in a society of, well, that's good enough. That'll work. We can get by with that. Let me tell you what, I believe God would have us to be more than just enough. He would have us to be more than that. Do you know what? We, and I say this a whole lot in my preaching, we as Christians are ambassadors of Christ. The lost world is judging Jesus Christ by us. Is that unfair? Most certainly, but it's never going to change. If they are judging our Savior by the things that we do, do you not think that in our lives and in every aspect we should strive for excellence? We ought to strive to be the best that God will allow us to be. Let me tell you what, God may not allow everyone here to go and be a brain surgeon or to do this or that or the other, but whatever it is that God allows you to do, be the best you can be at it. Be the best you can. Also with that word virtue, when translated from the Greek there, you see another idea that is not popular in society now. It's manliness. Boy, we've come to a time when the worst thing about it you can be is a man. Women, y'all can rest just a second. I'm going to fuss at the men a minute. Here's the thing. You know what? That idea of virtue, manliness and valor, they go together. Do you know what that is? That is doing what it takes to get the job done. Anymore, nobody hardly got that stick-to-itiveness. You know what? Everybody wants to quit. But do you know, I think about valor. Many times you hear that word used in reference to our soldiers as they fight. And do you know different medals that they're given and commendations that they're given? It'll have a little V on them if they've went above and beyond. What's that for? Valor. Do you know what they done? They done whatever needed to get the job done. But do you know, as Christians, many times the first obstacle that's encountered, we're finished. You know, we're finished. We don't have that virtue. And by the way, like I said, going back to that idea of manliness, let me tell you something, men, there's nothing wrong with being a man. There's nothing wrong with being a man or masculine, though the world today would tell us otherwise. Let me tell you what, there is nothing wrong with a man being the spiritual leader of his household. There is nothing wrong with that. We need more of that today. And let me say, while I'm right here, there's a lot of churches today barely squeaking by, and they have women filling offices and doing things in the church that the woman should never have to do. And the whole reason it is because men are not willing to be men. And let me tell you, women, I lied to you. Let me give y'all a little something right here too. If you've got a man that is being a man, let him be a man. We need more of that today. But he says to faith, we need to add that virtue. Once we've established that, the next thing he says we need to add is knowledge. He says the next thing we need is knowledge. Once you've got the faith down pat, once you've got virtue, to that add knowledge. But you see here, I think about knowledge many times. A lot of people think of knowledge as just being random facts. You know, I'm one of them people that something that does not matter. I can tell you all kinds of crazy facts that don't make a difference in the world about nothing. You know that? That's the way I am. Some people think that's knowledge. No, it's not. But we see here, as we see it in the Greek, what it really means is the act of knowing. Now, the act of knowing also leads us to believe there that that's a verb. Knowledge is a verb. Now, think about that for just a second. You remember back in grade school when you learned about verbs, what do they typically indicate? Action. Do you know what we need to have the act of knowing? You know, it's more than just knowing the name of Jesus. It's more than just knowing the general idea of it. You know, there's a lot of folks out there today that could tell you enough about the Bible that they could, even though they're lost, they could probably lead somebody to the Lord. You know, they know that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, know that He lived, know that He died and resurrected. They know the facts. They know those details, but they don't know Him. You know, we need that act of knowing. We need to actively know Him, that active knowledge. We need that more and more. Do you know, let me say right here, let me put a plug in for Sunday school. You want to know more about the Lord? Study His Word more. You want to say, well, I ain't got time. How about Sunday morning, 10 o'clock? Let me tell you what, there's a lot of folks that don't like Sunday school. Let me tell you, though, I think for most people that was raised in church, that is where you get your biblical foundation. That is where you get that basis to work off of. And as adults, that's where we continue to hone ourselves and to learn more and to know more and to share together. Let me tell you what, that is an important thing that can't be overlooked. We need that knowledge. But Peter says here, after knowledge, the next thing we need to add is temperance. Oh, me. You know, and the easiest definition for that is self-control. How many of you was at the church get-together last night? How many of you was like me, and on the way there, I thought to myself, I had done decided about what I was going to eat. You know? And I know I'm not talking spiritual now, but I'm putting it in terms we can understand. On the way there, I thought, I'm not going to overeat. I'm not going to eat more than I ought to. Guess what? I lied to myself. I even fussed at the preacher a little bit. I said, you know, we ain't been joined up here long, but I don't know about a Baptist church that has little round plates for a get-together. You know, I thought... them big square ones with dividers and sideboards, that's what Baptists use. But anyway, there I went through, and everything looked so good. And as I was making that hot dog, I'm like, oh, that relish looks good, and them onions look good, and that mustard looks good. Oh, that chili, that looks real good. And here's this slaw, and then all of a sudden I can't even see the bun that it was on. You know, and then after I eat that and the hamburger and the potato salad and the beans and the pickles and all of those things, I thought I might have just a little dessert. So I ate all that I could of that, and then as I went back through, I happened to look, and these things that looked like s'mores was there, and the Lord spoke to me. I had to. But what I'm saying in all of that is this: I lacked self-control in that aspect. But spiritually speaking, we need to have temperance. We need to be able to control ourselves. What does the... And I'm going to start meddling now. What does the Bible over there, when it talks about our tongue, it talks about a ship. And how that little bitty member of the ship turns the whole thing. If we want to really get into self-control, let's talk about the things that we say. Or the things that we abstain from saying. How many times do we let our words come out before we realize the impact that they'll have? Just like the idea, once a bell has been rung, you can't unring it. Once a word has been said, you can't unsay it. Once you say something to someone, I don't care if 5 seconds later you go to them and you apologize and you tell them that you did not mean that, guess what? Those words have already been said. Do you know the way to prevent that? Temperance. Careful of what you say, careful of what you do, controlling yourself. You know, we need more of that. We see the writer here goes on, after temperance, he says patience. That is something else that I lack a lot of. But the idea when we read and study that, it's not just patience in the way we would think of it, but it also means endurance. It means enduring some things. You know, I'm one that I don't like to wait around on stuff. I don't like to sit around. But do you know what? We need to be patient in that regard, but we also need to be able to endure things that will come our way. Because I promise you, no matter who you are, there's going to be times in this life that there are tough situations that come up. And there's going to be tough battles that are to be fought. And sometimes the best we can do is to just endure. And to just hold on until that goes on. You know, every storm that has ever been eventually passes. But do you know what? You've got to endure until it does. We see there also, it means patient continuance or waiting. Like I said, none of us like to wait. Kelly the other day took the kids to the doctor, and guess what? She had to wait. And she's texting me, and she's like, "We're still waiting. We're still waiting. I don't know why I needed to know that, but apparently I did. I didn't know it, but we're still waiting. We're still waiting. You know what? We're not very patient people, are we? But I'm the same way. A lot of us are. But the last thought along with patience, that when you study it and look at it, the first thing that's actually said is this. The first definition that's given is cheerful. Boy, isn't that something? When you read in Strong's Concordance, the first thing that's given is cheerful or hopeful. Now you think about that. It's one thing to sit there and grit your teeth and wait. But can you do it and be cheerful? When something tough is going on and you've got to have patience, can you be cheerful in it? I believe here, according to Peter, we need to be. We need to strive to be. We need to seek God's help in being that way. But after that, once we see that patience, the next thing that we see there, godliness. Do you know that? And we all know what godliness is, but it means to be devout. It also, and the best way I found to sum it up is this, we need to have a Godward attitude. In other words, we need to be thinking about God. That's what godliness is. Do you know the world today, and people think, they'll talk about somebody being godly. You know, you can just imagine this little halo over their head, and, you know, they got their hands folded all the time. That ain't what godliness is necessarily. It is having a Godward attitude. In everything that we do, thinking about what God wants. Thinking about how it's going to impact the things of God and the people of God. That is what godliness is. Godliness is not just being careful of what we say and all of these things. So many times when we talk about godliness, we think about these previous things that we are to have mastered, these previous things that we're to have done. But godliness really is having an attitude and a thought toward God continually. You know, you say, well, why should I do that? You know, His every thought and His every concern is on us. So shouldn't ours be upon Him? We're to have that godliness. The next one that we see is brotherly kindness.